presence this morning, especially if you're visiting with us. If you are visiting with us, we hope that you find your time spent with us is edifying to you and that you are spiritually uplifted. And we hope that if you have any questions about what we teach or practice here, that you would seek one of us out. We don't like spiritual loose ends here, so if you have any questions whatsoever, perhaps pertaining to your own spiritual life or, again, to what we practice here, we'd love to help you in any way that we can. I invite you to turn with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. We find Jesus responding to claims of those self-righteous Pharisees that we were talking about in the auditorium class this morning. And we find that they would not believe the words and the claims of Jesus, and that they would not accept the truth that he presented to them. And we talked a little bit in the class this morning. You know, why is that? Why would they not accept the words, the claims, the truth that Christ was presenting to them? And Jesus explained to them why they didn't understand. In John 8 and verse 44, Christ tells them, "You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." And Christ told them that the devil is a murderer and that he abode not in the truth from the beginning. So let's go back to the beginning. We appreciate the good scripture reading from Genesis chapter 3 and beginning in verse 1, where it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And just keeping in mind the devil, the father of lies, what does he say in verse 4? He says unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God does know," or "God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." The devil, the father of lies, twists the truth just a little bit. And if you twist the truth just a little bit, it becomes a lie. We can add to that Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles or trickery of the devil." And then one final passage, just by way of introduction. Just thinking about the devil, the father of lies, he who lied from the beginning. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "An elder must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." And of course, the word snare there refers to a trap. And you think about, why do you put a piece of cheese on a mouse trap? And why don't you just put the mouse trap out there and wait for the mouse to just run over the trap? Well, you've got to lure him into that trap, right? You've got to lure that mouse into that snare. And so likewise, the devil ensnares the hearts of men, and he leads us to destruction with his trickery, his wiles, with appealing sights and sounds, by twisting the truth just a little bit. And so for just a little while this morning, I'd like to submit to you a few lies of the devil. And I understand that there are quite a few lies that he tells, but just a few common lies, or lies that I've encountered in my own life and in studying with others. And the first lie that I've encountered quite a bit with the devil is that He says, as long as you don't do it all the time, it isn't sinful. Have you ever had the devil whisper something like that to you in some sinful habit, some sinful activity? Have you ever had the devil tell you, whisper into your ear, you know, if you just do it once a month, once a week, every once in a while, if you don't do it all the time, it's not sinful. And of course, you name the sin. I recognize that there's a difference between a single offense and living habitually in sin. But I want you to recognize that the devil is essentially getting us to convince ourselves to basically give our own selves a license to sin occasionally, to engage in casual sin. Now, since when has just a little bit of anything bad for you been good for you? Think about it. Would you recommend to someone to occasionally or casually engage in using some sort of addictive substance? You know, would you tell that person, you know, you can do it once a week, you know, once a month, and you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Or perhaps you like to drive your car really fast and you get out here on Grissom Road. And just once a month, once a week, every once in a while, you drive 80, 90 miles per hour down Grissom Road. Is that okay? Well, of course not. And we recognize that even if you didn't get caught, that's still breaking the law. In James chapter 4, in verse 17, therefore to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 26, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. The point is that sin is sin. And it's not a ratio of good to bad that we're thinking about. You know, if I do good 90% of the time and then I give myself a license to do bad 10% of the time, that I'll be okay. Sin is sin. We need to practice in our lives, work on eliminating sin from our lives, taking every occasion to avoid sin, to overcome sin, and not giving sin any occasion in our lives. And one might say, well, you know, it's good for me to be able to enjoy that sin every once in a while, because, you know, if I didn't have that, whatever it is, you name it, I'd go crazy. And I need to have some kind of balance in my life of good things and bad things. You know, I need to have indulgences every once in a while. You know, if there's something that you can't do entirely without, I mean, if you do it casually, occasionally, if you feel like you can't do without it entirely, then you are a slave to that sin. And in John chapter 8 and verse 34, it says, Jesus said unto them, John 8 and verse 34, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. But the devil says, no, you're not a slave to this sin if you don't do it all the time. That is a lie. And we need to watch out for it. Another lie of the devil. And by the way, I've got 6 or 7 of these lies. We'll see how time plays out. You know, I don't want you to lose your seat at Cracker Barrel or something like that. So we'll see what happens. The second lie of the devil. He says, you can do this one last time, and then tomorrow you'll be able to quit this sin. Tomorrow you'll be able to overcome this sin. And so today, go ahead and enjoy the sin, the pleasure for today, because tomorrow, that's it. And the devil tries to convince us that it's okay to enjoy sinful pleasure now due to the fact that tomorrow we will overcome it, or tomorrow we'll have suddenly have the will to overcome that sin. This is the last time that I will use this addictive substance. This is the last time that I will cheat this person. This is the last time that I will lie to this person. This is the last time that I'm going to go to this website because tomorrow I'm going to stop. This is the last time I'm going to skip services to watch the basketball game or go to the softball game. And then next week, I'll stop. I'll have the will to stop. This is a lie. Pay attention. If you don't have the will to overcome that sin today, do you know what tomorrow becomes? Tomorrow becomes today. So if you don't have the will to overcome that sin today, then you're not going to have the will to overcome that sin tomorrow, which will become today. And so there is no tomorrow. But the devil ensnares us in this cycle of this lie. Tomorrow I'll stop. Tomorrow I'll stop. Tomorrow I'll stop. And what happens? And you all know what happens. Tomorrow comes and you say, okay, tomorrow I'll stop. And so on and so on. It is a lie of the devil. And so many of the devil's lies are predicated on the idea of tomorrow. But we don't have control over what happens tomorrow. We do have control over what happens and what we do in our will today. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34 says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And what about John chapter 9 and verse 4? John chapter 9 and verse 4. "There is no tomorrow." Here Christ says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Today I must do right. The night comes when no man can work." And so, you need to be resolved about what you're going to do tomorrow. You do need to plan and try to have some sort of plan of action for the future. But that doesn't excuse you from living righteously and taking care of your soul today. Because tomorrow is not guaranteed. Another lie of the devil. Another lie that the devil speaks to us. The devil says, people don't want to hear the gospel anymore. People don't need the gospel anymore. You ever find yourself, you know, telling yourself that, or maybe you're talking to someone else, you know, casual conversation, and the subject comes up about the world and how dark and how terrible the world is, and you say, you know, the world's just going down the drain. No one's paying attention to truth anymore. No one's paying attention to spiritual things. This is a lie that the devil speaks to us. The devil tells us that no one wants to hear truth anymore. Why would the devil convince us or want to convince us that it's vain to try to spread the gospel? Why would the devil want to convince us that we shouldn't go out and try and make efforts, no matter how futile it seems, to spread the gospel to others? Why would he speak that lie to us? May I submit to you that because the devil knows the power of the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, we all know the passage, Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." The devil knows the power of the gospel. And he doesn't want us going out into the world sharing that gospel, because he knows that as long as there are people who are walking and breathing on this earth, that the power of God, the power of the gospel, has the power to save and convict the hearts of men. And so the devil doesn't want us out there spreading the gospel. And so he whispers into our ear, "Don't even bother." If you find yourself, you know, telling yourself that, speaking to your brothers and sisters and saying discouraging words such as, "What are we going to do? No one wants to hear the truth anymore," you have been duped by the devil. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so Paul talks about himself, and he talks about all the terrible things that he did and all the terrible things that he was. And we know Paul's background. We know that he dragged Christians to their deaths and that he worked directly in opposition to the church. And we know how terrible and how awful of a background he had. And he said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save people like me, and to save people like you, and to save people like all those people in the world that you think are lost, and it's vain to even tell them about the truth. Paul says that Christ came into the world to die for people like that. We need to make the effort. And we usually stop there where Paul says he is chief of sinners, but in 16, verse 16, he says, howbeit, for this cause, he says, because of this, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. He says, I received mercy and I was able to change and be convicted and converted by the gospel of Christ to demonstrate the power of the gospel. He says, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The devil says, don't bother spreading the gospel. But the gospel has the power to save. It has the power to save now in 2016. It had the power to save when these words were written, and it'll have the power to save as long as there is a single human being walking this earth and breathing. Don't listen to that lie of the devil. It is not futile to spread the gospel, and we need to be active in it. Another lie that the devil speaks. The devil says, I do not exist. Isn't that clever? You know, just, you know, don't believe in me. You know, you don't believe in Santa Claus. Santa Claus isn't real. The Easter Bunny isn't real. You know, if you have little kids, just cover their ears. You know, if they're, I apologize if I'm bringing down worlds here. But the devil says, I am no more real than Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny. You name it. How clever is that? And he has so many people in this world convinced that he's just a boogeyman that religious people contrived and put together to scare people into doing right. And he tells the world, I do not exist. Don't worry about me. But it's a lie. The devil is real. Now, I put this one in here because I've encountered this a lot. People imagine the devil is some just, we think about the medieval images of the devil with the pitchfork and the red leotard and the horns and the furry legs, like, you know, the Greek satyrs. And they see the devil as some mythological creature. They do not believe that he truly exists. But it is a lie. The Bible is very clear. There is a conscious, cunning, deceptive, powerful, and evil being. And I don't know what form he takes. I couldn't tell you what he looks like. But there is an intelligent being out there working to destroy the souls of men. And we need to watch out for him. In 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8, another familiar passage, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever seen National Geographic films and, you know, these nature films, and they show the antelope, the deer, you have it, the wildebeest out in the prairie, out in the field, and they're happy and they're grazing, and you know their heads are down, and then all of a sudden they hear a sound, and all of a sudden all their heads perk up at the same time, because they know that that lion is out there and he's real, and that he's just waiting for the perfect opportunity to pounce. You know, sometimes in some of these programs they show, you know, that animal that did get captured by the lion, and they show that animal ripped to shreds, and you can see that the blood and their organs are spilling out, and that the lion devouring that animal. We need to watch out. See the image that the Bible is painting here? We need to watch out for the devil who is seeking those whom he may devour. The devil is real. Don't be misled by his lie when he says, I don't exist. Don't worry about me. Two more lies of the devil, and then the lesson is yours. Another lie of the devil, he says, there is no objective standard of truth. Have you ever heard anyone say something like that? You know, truth is in the eye of the beholder. You know, everyone comes up with their own truth, and you know, your truth is good for you, my truth is good for me. You know, we don't have to impose one another's truths, realities on one another. You're the center of your universe. There is no objective standard of truth. You choose truth. And the devil has so many people in the world convinced that they don't have to worry about some body of objective truth. I want us to think about this for just a moment. Think about how dangerous this idea is. If there is no objective body or standard of truth, then think about all the horrible things that, you know, we see people doing in this world today. You know, that means that, you know, someone could, you know, shoot up a school. You know, someone can, you know, kick in your door and take all of your things. And they could be justified in that. That means that, you know, whatever reason they did it for, they can justify themselves in doing that. And you would have no response to their justification because that is their object, that is their subjective body of truth. There are people in this world who do horrible, terrible things. And the devil says that, you know, we have to let things slide. Yeah, and if we let a little thing slide, then we got to let a lot of things slide. We got to let big things slide because there is no objective standard of truth. This is a lie. There is objective truth. And no matter what I choose to believe, no matter what you choose to believe, that objective body of truth always remains the same. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the author writes, but there are false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You mean to tell me that there are people in this world who would try to lead me away from truth? You mean to tell me that there are people in the world who might try to convince you of their own body of truth and lead you away from objective truth? Do you mean to tell me that there are websites that I might go to that might lead me away from truth? Do you mean to tell me that there are people on television shows, you know, charming, intelligent people on the radio that might lead me away from some objective body of truth? What does it say? There will be false prophets. There will be false teachers denying the Lord, and many shall follow them, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. how can I be sure that my life is based on truth? You know, how can I be sure that, okay, I'm looking for objective truth? You know, how can I know that I found it? I'm glad you asked. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 9. And the entire Psalm 119 is a wonderful declaration of the significance of one abiding in the truth, in the word, and the doctrine of God. But beginning in verse 9 of Psalm 119, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. The word of God, the Bibles that we can have in our hands and that we can read and understand, there is something special about God's word. And within the pages of God's word, in those words, we can find objective truth. I might be wrong. You might be wrong. You might, you know, go off the path every once in a while. But we always have God's enduring word that we can rely on for objective truth. When the devil says there is no objective body of truth, it's a lie. One final lie that the devil speaks to us. The devil says that you don't need to think about what happens to you after you die because you're not dying right now. Has the devil ever spoken anything like that to you? You know, you kind of look around, I feel good, I feel healthy. You know, I'm young. You know, I have a good doctor, good medical insurance. You know, does the devil ever tell you, you're not dying right now. Don't worry about what happens to you after you die. That's a lie. We do need to worry about what happens to us after we die. You recognize that the moment that you took your first breath, the moment that your heart started beating and the blood started flowing through your body, you were headed down a path that every single individual that's ever walked or breathed on this earth has walked. We are in a very small minority. You know, when it comes to all the people who have ever lived on this earth, you know, we're in a very tiny minority. Think about all the billions and billions of people that have ever lived. You know, the few that are on this earth now, you know, we're just in a minority. Sooner or later, something's going to get you. And you can go join all the other billions and billions and billions of people who have died. Something's going to get you. Could be cancer. Could be some terrible, you know, some car accident. You might live to, you know, a good ripe old age. But your cells are still programmed to deteriorate and die. But the devil says, you're not dying right now. You are dying right now. And you need to prepare yourself for what happens after death. In Psalm 49, I invite you to turn with me, Psalm 49. So we read our final passage here. Psalm 49, read with me beginning in verse 5. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. That he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he that sees that wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perishes. And they leave their wealth to others. Everyone dies. The wise man dies. The fool dies. Everybody dies. And they leave their things to other people. Verse 11. Their inward thought is, that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. And they call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abides not. He is like the beasts that perish. You know, you're going to die just like, you know, every animal that dies. This, their way, is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. It says, yes, everyone's going to die. Everyone's headed in the same direction. Yes, that's depressing. If you stop there, verse 15 says, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Remember, Paul asked a question, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he recognized that in Christ Jesus, and in preparing himself by becoming a child of God, that he could overcome the power of the grave. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? You know, why did they not understand the truth he was speaking? You know, was it because they were unable? Were they intellectually unable to understand the truth? Did they not have the mental capacity to understand the words that he spoke and the claims that he made? Did they misunderstand something? You know, had they simply just not worked out the logic of it? They chose to believe a lie over the truth. And they chose to follow error despite the overwhelming evidence of truth before them. God has given us a choice. He gave them a choice, and he's given us a choice to choose whether or not we want to follow a lie or follow after truth. You know, many of them had seen Jesus perform miracles. You know, they looked at him, they heard the words coming out of his mouth, just as you're hearing the words come out of my mouth now. And they heard the claims that he made. And many of them were experts in the law and experts when it came to the old histories under the old covenant. And still they chose to abide in a lie for whatever reason, self-preservation, so they can maintain their status. But they chose to follow after the lie. And they were children of the father of lies. And if a man or woman today, in 2016, chooses a lie over truth, then guess who your daddy is? God gave us a choice. And we can choose who our father is. So I ask you today, what is your choice regarding the truth that God has presented before you? Will you decide to follow after the lies of the devil? Or will you choose to follow a path of righteousness, to follow a path of truth that leads to eternal life? You know, I was driving home last night, and it was kind of dark, and there was a little animal kind of off in the distance. And, you know, I got up kind of close, and it was an armadillo, and he was right in the middle of the road. And, you know, I couldn't bring myself, you know, no matter how fast I was going, I couldn't bring myself to run him over. So I slowed and I swerved, and I'm sure I missed him by inches. And I got to thinking, you know, that a poor armadillo, he has no idea how close he was to utter annihilation. Because I was moving. If you're not a child of God, I want you to consider your own life. You know, who knows how many close calls you've already had? You don't know about, you know, the accident maybe that you almost had. You don't know about some food that you chose not to eat that, you know, may have gotten into your system and done something to you that ultimately would have led to your demise. You know, circumstances out there just waiting to get us. And, you know, there have been so many times in my own life where I wondered, you know, did I just, you know, barely miss something there? You know, did something just barely not happen to me? And it wakes me up. And we're asking you this morning, again, if you're not a child of God, wake up and understand that God has given you the blessing of today and now. He's given you the breath of life. He's given you the strength in your body. He's given you the soundness of mind to understand His Word. And His Word teaches that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die a terrible death, to shed His blood, and to have His body broken, that you might be saved from the awful destination that you might end up in. God's Son died, and He resurrected after 3 days. Paul says, you know, this is the gospel that was taught to me, and he says, you know, I share this gospel with you, and now, so I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. And the Word of God teaches, the truth teaches, that in order to become a child of God, to become a son or daughter of the Lord, you have to believe that His Son indeed was the Son of the living God. And you have to recognize that indeed you are living in sin. You have to turn from your sin and repent from that sin. You have to make the confession with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And then the Word of God says we must be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. And then we can begin a life of service in the kingdom of God. We can become a soldier of the Lord and be that person that goes out into the world and shares the gospel with the dying. If you're here this morning, if there's anything that we can do for you, we hope and pray that you take advantage of the blessing that God has given you today and now to make things right. If there's anything that we can do for you, we ask you to come forward now. Make your request known as we stand and sing.